Hi everyone, and welcome to LID Radio Podcast. Today on our Inside Knowledge series, we're talking to Kevin Duncan. Kevin is a business advisor, marketing expert, motivational speaker, and author. He's written 20 books, selling over 180,000 copies. They've been voted for the Telegraph Business Club Book of the Week, W.H. Smith Book of the Month, Foyle's Book of the Month, and nominated for the CMI Management Book of the Year Award, and also translated into over a dozen languages. Today, Kevin will be talking about the Smart Strategy Book, 50 Ways to Solve Tricky Business Issues, and he'll be going over five of those issues from his book. Over to Kevin. Number one.
Copy something. One of the most effective ways to draw inspiration for a decent brand strategy is to copy something else. Innovation is 80 to 90% known stuff with a 10 to 20% twist. It's not where you get it from, it's where you take it to. The principle of category stealing is simple. Choose a category different from your own and ask how companies and brands in that category would approach your issue. Everyone operates in one category or another, and many of the traditions, rituals, and formats in them operate in quite fixed ways. This can lead to sameness in one sector, but could provide inspiration in another. As behavioural expert Mark Earls points out in his book Copy, 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 copying is to be cherished if it is approached in the right way. Copying strategies really works, so you can do smarter thinking by using other people's ideas. Look to successes elsewhere and apply them to your issue. Tight, so-called single white copying, named after the film Single White Female, is no good for innovation because it just slavishly repeats what's been done before. Copying loosely works much better and allows for error and variation. Questions that provide early rangefinders for progress are: what kind of thing is this? What kind of solutions might be appropriate? And what might that look like? This iterative way of investigating strategies is far more fluid and informative than detailed planning and allows you to move much more quickly. Smart strategy warning. You can't just steal another strategy and apply it lock, stock and barrel, especially if the brand in question is a competitor. What you're looking for are analogies and inspiration from an area a little way off the path the brand is currently on. Think widely and identify norms elsewhere that could inspire a new strategy in your sector.
Number two.
Disloyal loyalists. In The Effortless Experience, authors Dixon, Toman and DeLisi reject the idea that delighting customers increases loyalty as being plain wrong. In fact, it's all to do with delivering what the brand says, solving basic problems and minimising customer effort. All the data in the book comes from a massive survey of nearly 100,000 customers, and it asked three questions. To what extent does customer service matter in driving customer loyalty? What are the things that customer service can do to drive customer loyalty? And how can customer service improve loyalty while also reducing operating costs? The main findings were: a strategy of delight doesn't pay. Satisfaction is not a predictor of loyalty. Customer service interactions tend to drive disloyalty, not loyalty. And the key to mitigating disloyalty is reducing customer effort. Loyalty has three types: repurchase, share of wallet, and advocacy. The survey found that 60 to 80% of customers who defect were satisfied or very satisfied at the last survey, while 96% of customers who have high effort experiences become disloyal, only 9% with low effort experiences do. So the role of customer service should be to reduce customer effort. Customers define high effort experience in many ways, including taking more than one contact to resolve a problem, generic service, having to repeat information, and being transferred on helplines. Bad word of mouth has additional power. 45% of those with positive things to say about a company tell three other people, whereas 48% with negative things to say tell 10 other people. In short, customers who at first appear loyal in survey data may be prepared to leave the brand very soon. Smart strategy warning. Avoid grandiose phrasing such as delighting customers and exceeding customer expectations. They're mainly fanciful hot air, and in many cases they don't even work. Consider that in many categories, the absence of interaction with a brand is preferable to having to engage with it. Don't overstate customer loyalty levels. In most cases, they are not loyal to one brand, but to many of them, so they can switch away from yours immediately if conditions change.
Number 3.
Panic-free service recovery. Service is an act of help or assistance. To be servile is to be obsequious in attitude or behaviour, or plain submissive. Decent brands provide top-quality customer service without being servile. If you've got customers, then you're in a service industry. Ideally, nothing would ever go wrong, but things go wrong all the time. It's what you do when something goes wrong that makes all the difference. This is called service recovery. Customers who have been successfully recovered are 14 times more loyal than those who have never had anything go wrong. So perversely, mistakes can fall in the brand's favour, so there's no need to panic when they happen. Your customers can become ambassadors or cynics depending on how your brand handles these tricky moments. The internet has made this phenomenon faster and practically limitless. Bad news cannot be swept under the carpet. It needs immediate attention, so you need a service recovery strategy to nip it in the bud and solve problems immediately. It is over 6 times more expensive to win a new customer than it is to persuade an existing customer to return. So devise a strategy to keep customers happy, especially when things go wrong. Smart strategy warning. Many brands kid themselves that everything will be fine or that their service is great. It may not be. Start by admitting that there are very likely to be some tricky moments, recognise them for what they are likely to be, and put in place an appropriate service recovery process. Make sure the design of this process tells the customer what's happening, informs colleagues what's happening, chooses the right method of communicating, and doesn't promise things that you can't deliver. Manage their expectations in a sensible and realistic manner, finish on a positive note, and you may have stronger customer loyalty as a result.
Number 4.
Try rational drowning. Some sales strategies rely on a relentlessly cheerful approach, but in many contexts this is counterproductive. In fact, it can pay to suggest that the issue is much harder than the potential customer believes. Sometimes this involves taking the mood down for a short while to emphasise the severity of the problem. This is followed by bringing the customer back up with your proposed solution. This is called rational drowning. Effective commercial teaching usually involves 6 main stages. 1. Warmer. Build credibility through empathy. 2. Reframing. Shock the customer with the unknown. 3. Rational drowning. Intensify the problem and then break it down. 4. Emotional impact. Make the problem human. 5. Value proposition. Introduce a new way, building confidence back up. And 6. Solution and implementation map. Describe in detail how to fix the problem with your product. Hypothesis-based selling involves leading with a hypothesis of the customer's needs, informed by experience and research. Bear in mind that having widespread support across an organisation is now vital to likely sales success. Going straight to the decision-maker is unlikely to work. Interestingly, the sales experience contributes more to customer loyalty, 53%, than the brand, 19%, product and service delivery, 19%, and value to price ratio, 9%, all put together, so it really is worth getting it right. Smart strategy warning. Don't use rational drowning if the sales context is relatively simple. There's no need to frighten the horses if everything's pretty straightforward. Bear in mind that many companies think that things are more complicated than they truly need to be. Many potential customers have a high level of understanding already, so it pays to understand how sophisticated your audience is and pitch your sales strategy accordingly.
Number 5.
The creativity and commerce crossroads. Innovation must build ideas at the crossroads of creativity and commerce, according to Mark Payne, founder of the innovation company Fahrenheit 212. The failure rates of most innovations are absurdly high, culminating in unicorns, visions that are lovely to think about, but only doable and profitable in some imaginary world. What is needed is a money and magic approach, sometimes called how and wow. That's where the ideas people and the commercial people work together from the off to solve both a big customer problem and a big business problem in one bold move. What goes into an innovation process is always dozens of initiatives competing for resources. By the midpoint, nearly all solve a customer need, but they should only be implemented if they also solve a business need for the company. So the moral is, don't suspend commercial questions early in the process. This two-sided thinking, customer need and company need, must be present from day one, because the best results appear at the crossroads of these two requirements. Another crossroads comes at the intersection of near-term ROI, return on investment, low risk tolerance, big growth goals, and tight resource constraints. Big doesn't always have to mean risky, slow, and expensive. So don't buy into the myth that creativity is most effective when it's unencumbered by practical imperatives. It's simply not true. Smart strategy warning. Creativity in isolation does not form the basis of a decent innovation strategy. It has to be applied to a true commercial need. So having random ideas without understanding the real commercial issues doesn't get you anywhere. For a truly effective innovation approach, get the practical people working at the beginning with the ideas people. This will save you generating scores of idealistic concepts that can't be executed.
Do keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing, where we'll be sharing expert opinions from authors such as Kevin Duncan in the future. Take care, and thank you for listening to Lid Radio Podcast.